Welcome to the Context Machine, episode 589. For those following along at home, I'm Brian Chaffin.
And I'm Jeff Gamet. Hey, check us out at our new home, contextmachine.io. Brian has the room that's upstairs on the left. He's usually waving out of the window.
Waving what? Okay, you can also use contextmachine.io. By the way, is this still new at this point to reach out to us?
It says in the script, so it must be.
Well, if you read
anyhow,
it,
you're talking. Carry on.
Twitter, Context Machine, at Context Machine. That's where we are.
Yeah. Today's episode is sponsored by ZocDoc, and we're looking forward to telling you all about
that. I am sure they're delighted by our professional introduction. Jeff's going to tell you more about ZocDoc later in the show.
Mm-hmm.
We're excited about that. So let's see here, Jeff.
Brian,
I think we're going to do a TV episode. What do you think?
I am champing at the bit to do a TV episode. We haven't done one for a while.
It's been not that long.
It's been weeks.
We do a lot of TV episodes.
Trying to make it sound like this is special that we're doing a TV episode.
It's the golden age of TV.
It really is.
There have never been
so many amazing great shows to talk about.
Never been so many great shows on TV.
Yeah, I have to agree. So, Brian, what do you want to talk about today?
He
says, knowingly.
Let's talk about Strange New Worlds.
I am so glad you picked that because the season is wrapped up. Season one wrapped up, and it's been a few weeks, so people have had a chance to see the season finale. And we haven't had a chance to discuss it yet. So I'm so glad that's the show you pulled out of the
ether
TV show hat.
The ether.
Out of the ether. Yes.
Not to be mistaken for Ethereum.
No. Do not mistake those.
That was last week's show.
Right.
Actually, it was not.
By the way.
2 weeks ago. Yes.
Brian.
Yes.
The Ethereum,
the NFT super show.
Crypto NFT special.
Yeah.
I did get feedback from some of our listeners.
Do tell.
And they really appreciated it.
Huh.
They thought it was really good and were really happy for what we shared and the knowledge you have and the fact that we were okay talking about this as a subject where we were trying to be impartial as opposed to being fanboys or haters.
Well, I am an NFT fanboy. One of my gifts/curses in life is being able to be semi-objective about the things that I'm passionate about.
Which is a great skill to have. And the advice that you offered, which is don't put any money into this that you can't afford to lose, was received very well. And I think it's great advice.
It's the same thing. Yeah. Like if you're going to go to Vegas, don't take money you can't afford to lose. If you're going to put money in the stock market, don't buy stocks in companies that you can't afford to. It is kind of true for everything, but I think it is even more true for things like crypto, NFTs, and casinos. They're all forms of gambling to one degree or another.
Yeah. What's not gambling is loving Star Trek.
That is true. You did an excellent job of reining me in.
Oh, thank you. Strange New Worlds season finale. I'm assuming that's what you want to focus on.
The season finale blew me away. Before I say it blew me away, because it did blow me away.
I'm glad you finished that statement.
This top man, this season, this first season of this show is to me the best Star Trek since the original series. And I say that as a huge fan of The Next Generation.
Yeah, I'm putting Strange New Worlds at the top of my favorite Trek right now. And I have enjoyed all the shows in the franchise. And
really?
And
I cannot, all of them?
Yes, all of them. And for different reasons. But yes, I have enjoyed every single series in the franchise.
Okay, how about the last two seasons of Discovery?
I enjoyed those. Now, I'm not looking at them and thinking this is pinnacle Trek, but I still enjoyed watching the show. I enjoyed watching the animated series.
The original animated series.
Now that we have to differentiate,
I haven't seen the new animated series. The original animated series was terrific.
It really was. They did some amazing things with incredibly. They had an amazing stories that totally made up for the incredibly cheap.
The production.
And I say that as a true thing and not like a personal statement, incredibly cheap animation that went along with it. There was some great stuff. You should watch Lower Decks.
I need to. I plan on it. I just haven't gotten around to it.
Yeah. And I've been enjoying Prodigy as well, even though it's a Trek series that's targeted at like first time younger watchers, meaning, you know, like kids and teens. And it's actually a nice intro into the Trek universe for kids. If they, you know, if they really haven't seen anything, well, that would make it an intro. So anyhow, watch Lower Decks. You'll like it.
I'm going to, and I thoroughly expect to. I haven't watched Prodigy. I intend to. I have watched Strange New World.
Great. So we have something we can talk about.
It is amazing. The whole season was amazing. The season finale was amazing-er. Amazingest.
Uh-huh. Double plus amazing.
Double plus amazing. So let's talk about it.
All right. So I will give everyone a short overview of what the episode is about. And to be fair to everyone, we will have spoilers about the episode. We're several weeks past when it aired. So hopefully everyone's okay with that. If not, pause to watch and then come back.
There you go. Pause, watch, and come back. Yeah.
Okay. So the premise of this episode is that Captain Pike has been ruminating about his eventual demise. Well, it's not a demise because he's still alive, but his...
Does he know that, though?
He is.
I don't know that he knows that.
No, he totally knows that.
Are you sure that he knows that he's still alive after that accident? Because every flashback, every vision he has of it ends... during the event as his face is melting.
Not true. You need to be watching closer, and you should have paid closer attention at Discovery.
Can I take that out so that no one knows what an idiot I am?
Take that out.
Excellent.
No, yeah. Yeah, there are scenes from the flashbacks or future flashes where after the face melting happens, he is sitting in the... automated wheelchair that has the yes, no buttons on it.
Okay.
So he has seen that he lives beyond that.
All right.
And it is not a good quality of life.
All right. Fair enough.
Anyhow.
But I mean, no one knows what I'm conceding there because I took it out of post.
Right. So that is so lucky.
Yes.
Yeah. Where was I? Oh, right. So anyhow, he's been lamenting the fact that this is his fate. And he meets one of the children that ultimately becomes a cadet that is involved in this accident. And he realizes this is one of the people that's going to die in the accident because he doesn't save everyone when he's sacrificing himself. And he devises a way to keep that person from ending up in that situation. And he's thinking, this is good. I'm going to be saving someone that would otherwise die. And then he meets his future self, who manages to time travel back, Klingon time stones, blah, blah, blah. And he is now put in the position where he's telling himself, dude, you can't do this because if you do not follow the path that is already laid out for you, then you are changing a future or changing the future to something that's going to be absolutely horrible. And the future him that's telling him this is completely healthy, is alive, is not in a wheelchair, also wearing the Strange New Worlds interpretation of the maroon monster uniform, and it's wonderful. So anyhow, the episode is Pike's experience being the version of himself that does not end up in that accident, and the trouble that leads to.
Yeah, and experiencing the consequences of that.
Yes. And so it leads to a confrontation with the Romulans. And he has to determine how to deal with a first encounter with the Romulans, which would be about 100 years after the Earth Romulan conflicts. And if this sounds vaguely familiar, mm-hmm. think Balance of Terror from the original series.
Yes.
Because the kicker is, this is actually Captain Pike having to deal with the events in Balance of Terror that in the original series, Captain Kirk had to deal with.
Now, in the original series with Balance of Terror, mm-hmm. it is, we have heard of the Romulans, but we've never seen mm-hmm. them.
Right.
Whereas most people, I would imagine at least, most certainly surely a majority of people who are watching Strange New Worlds will have seen Romulans and know that they are essentially an offshoot of the Vulcans years before in other shows, mm-hmm. including Balance of Terror, for instance. But when mm-hmm. Balance of Terror was a thing, when it was new, we had not seen the Romulans. It was very there was a whole the Balance of Terror was very much a submarine episode.
Yes, it was. And so I mean, the whole thing is just like in a submarine episode. You have the two ships, you have the two captains, and they have to outwit each other without being able to see each other.
Right.
Yeah, and in Balance of Terror, just like in episode 10, which is, I just forgot the title. Can you believe? A Quality of Mercy. This is the first time the Federation has physically seen a Romulan, and they're quite surprised to see that they look like Vulcans. And Mr. Spock is, just like everyone else, quite surprised to see that they look like Vulcans.
Well, and I have to be honest, I always kind of had a problem with that, going back to my childhood, watching A Balance mm-hmm. of Terror. Like, mm-hmm. the Vulcans should know that they're, I mean, it really seems like the Romulans would have been probably messing with the Vulcans all along, keeping tabs on, like, I don't know. It you definitely have to suspend your disbelief to accept that no one knows that the Romulans are an offshoot of Vulcans who are basically are still guided by rage and emotions.
Clearly you have not been keeping up on your Star Trek Enterprise episodes, because they address that directly. Huh.
How does Enterprise do it when it took place before the original series? That's ridiculous. Are you kidding me? Man, I gave up on Enterprise when they had the naughty shower scene. It was just so contrived and artificial. Just made me so tense. And I like he's got the Bagula. I like him. But that
all right. So well, luckily for our listeners, I apparently have a much higher tolerance for all things Star Trek.
It's funny. I consider myself such a Star Trek wonk, and I didn't like or watch Voyager. I stopped watching DS9. I stopped mm-hmm. watching Enterprise. Haven't seen the Lower Decks. Haven't seen Prodigy. And am really cranky about Discovery, but I consider myself to be a Trek wonk.
All right. Well, I mean that's fair that you consider yourself a Trek wonk. All right. So very quickly, because I know this isn't the point of what we're talking about today. In Enterprise, the Romulans, they are aware of their ties to the Vulcans. And the Vulcans are not, but the Romulans have been secretly working with a small group of Vulcans that at the time of Enterprise, the Vulcans are not the completely, you know, like perfect stoic characters that we see in TOS. They're actually in the middle of a cultural upheaval and revolution. Well,
that doesn't make any sense either, because that happened long ago.
Okay, and see, you need to go back and watch, because it makes sense when you watch.
Got the and
so there's a sect of a group of Vulcans that are actively working with Romulans. As the Romulans trying to manipulate Vulcan culture.
And yet somehow the Federation doesn't know about this.
Federation doesn't exist.
No. Federation doesn't know about this in the time of a balance of terror.
No, they wouldn't. And you would have to watch Enterprise to understand why. I could go deeper into that, but I know you really want to talk about Strange New Worlds.
I do.
And but, Enterprise.
But.
So, you know there is a problem, though. Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm so excited about talking about Balance of Terror.
Same.
That I'm feeling like I need a doctor.
heart palpitations, brother.
I'm having heart palpitations, which means that I should find a doctor. But Brian, my problem is, where do I go to find the right doctor to help me with my Trek palpitations and find someone that can actually help me and that I'll feel comfortable working with? And the answer is, I need to use ZocDoc. ZocDoc is a service and an app that you can put on your phone that helps you find the doctors that fit with you. The doctors, they're all patient reviewed. You can make sure that they're doctors that take your insurance, and you can set up the appointments that fit for you because your doctors are available when you need them. So you can find a specialist for anything that you need on ZocDoc, which is great. And you can download the app for free. Get yourself set up with a doctor that's right for you. Get your appointment and well, like me, go get your Star Trek heart palpitations taken care of. So here's what you need to do. Go to ZocDoc.com/ACM. And then download the ZocDoc app for free, and then start your search for top-rated doctors today. And many are available within 24 hours. That's ZocDoc.com/ACM, ZocDoc.com/ACM. And thank you, ZocDoc, for being our sponsor this week.
Very much so. So you were about to explain why I was wrong.
How much time do we have?
Yeah, I know that there's a lot of ground to cover.
Actually, what I was going to say is that right before I had to stop because of my heart palpitations was that there is a problem that I have with the Star Trek timeline involving Romulans. And in Balance of Terror and in A Quality of Mercy, the Romulans do not have warp technology.
Mm.
But they do in other canon Trek that as far as the timeline goes, happens before, chronologically, before these things would happen. So anyhow, that's an issue for me.
I didn't even catch that they didn't have warp drive.
Yeah, it's a...
I need to rewatch this episode. I mean, like, I want to rewatch it just because it was so good. And I've been intending to since it aired, and yet I have not done so. It's a good thing because we're doing a show about it tonight.
Right. It's great. Yeah. You should also go and rewatch Balance of Terror. And I mean, this episode, A Quality of Mercy, has just so many beautifully shot scenes. And the tension, I mean, you can taste it. It's just done so well.
Including some dialogue and scenes that are lifted straight from A Balance of Terror in a brilliant and deliciously satisfying way.
Oh yes, even down to the lighting. The lighting director from Star Trek, TOS. And I feel bad. I'm sorry. I cannot remember his name right now. He did amazing things with lighting. You know, like you get these scenes where you need the intensity of the person's gaze. And so they will actually have the lighting darker everywhere except where their eyes are.
Yeah.
And they do that in this episode. They even do an homage to the music that's played in the episode. They set up scenes to match what was done in Balance of Terror, like the revelation that Romulans look like Vulcans. That matches what they did in the original series when they're having their briefing talking about Romulans looking like Vulcans. They use the same dialogue for a large portion of that scene. So you have our new Spock saying the exact same words that our original Spock said.
So good.
And
they had, especially I think on the Romulan side, because there was less change on the Romulan side, on the Federation side, it's, I mean, you know, different captain, different crew, partially. So, I mean, my point is that a lot of the things that happen within the episode are the same things that happened in A Balance of Terror, but changed by the changing circumstances.
Yes.
So just like, and Ichabod's very excited about it, but very
understandable.
Very exciting.
Yeah, it's a wonderfully done episode. I mean, the whole season feels like a love note to longtime Trek fans. And this episode is the love note of love notes. The whole thing with the base, the base, you know, the listening post based,
the base. What are you talking about?
Yeah. It's built into an asteroid.
The base. Oh yeah. Right. Right.
Yeah. And you know, that gets destroyed in the episode. They set up the shots to match the original, and it's the same dialogue. And while you could feel like they're just cribbing from the original episode, no, it does not come across that way.
Mm-mm, not even a little bit.
Not even a little bit. And for people that have seen Balance of Terror, but not for a long time, you may not realize that you're hearing the same dialogue in some scenes that you heard in the original episode.
So all in all, it is a great episode of a great series of a great first season.
Yes. This is the strongest first season of Trek in decades.
But yeah,
and I say that going, you know, cause you go back to TNG and that first season was kind of rough.
Ugly bags of mostly water, which by the way is a, again, I get his excitement. The mm-hmm. for whatever, this is before cable. And mm-hmm. and I wanted to watch this new Star Trek show because I'd always loved Star Trek as a kid. Mm-hmm. And as every time I tuned into it, which was not consistent, it was the ugly bags of mostly bags of ugly water episode. Like every time.
You have some really bad Trek karma.
I think like I had watched six episodes and five of them were that episode. And the no exaggeration. That said, that episode is like horrible and awesome at the same time. Mm-hmm. Right? When I watched it at the time, when I watched it when it was new, it was like, man, this show is like, this. It's just everything feels so cheap. Like these characters feel cheap. The actors feel, you know, kind of wooden. The sets are terrible. But when I went back to watch that episode many years later, the concepts that they're talking about, interacting with the silicon-based life form, or silicon. I forget.
Go with what you want.
Sure.
And we'll call it good.
It was such an interesting idea. Regardless, that first season of TNG was not great. We've got the African Jungle Gym episode.
Ooh, one of the worst episodes of Trek ever.
Just awful. And
that was bad.
Yeah. Yeah. So many not good episodes. I came to love the show for sure. But there were a lot of bad episodes. I would say that I think the first season of Discovery was really good. And I think that the first season of Deep Space Nine was good.
Oh, first season of Deep Space Nine, I thought was straight up garbage.
Yeah,
I know. Like, I felt like that. It should have been canceled after that first season. I'm glad it wasn't, because when you get to like, what is it, season three?
That's when I started losing interest.
That's when it starts like becoming a thing. Season four on, that's when DS9 is a solid show. But going that far into a show, just hoping it gets good, that's not fair to do to people.
It's funny. We have almost a mirror world experience with Deep Space Nine.
We do.
Like,
yeah,
I liked it at first and then did not like it. And anyway, yeah. So,
all right, I want to toss out a line from season one for you where I actually turned it off and walked away and didn't see the rest of the episode until it was on reruns. And that's Odo standing in the promenade saying, "Everyone stop using your imagination." That's in the Leprechaun episode.
I don't know, man. It seems pretty legit. I have to be fair. What's the actor that played Odo?
Rene Auberjonois.
Yes.
Incredible actor. And he had to stand there and say that line.
I
the original Father Mulcahy.
I thought
had to say, "Stop using your imaginations, everyone."
I thought that my problem with Odo. I thought that he was fantastic as Odo, but I could not get out of my head him standing in the hallway going, "Benson!" Like, I just couldn't. Like, it was hard for me to get past that, but he became fantastic.
I can appreciate that. So, a little bit more about Equality of Mercy.
Okay.
I liked that. We got to see Pike reach a point where he came to terms with what his fate is and was able to see that his sacrifice is going to benefit so many people.
Okay.
And
I feel very strongly that you are glossing over how concerned he was about the other people that got killed in that incident. I feel like that was more of a motivator for him than his own disfigurement.
You know what? Yes, you're right.
I accept your apology.
Yeah, it's yeah. bless your heart. Yes, he was concerned absolutely about the lives that were lost or will be lost. And then at the same time, as he learned to, or as he experienced what was going to happen to other people that matter to him right now, his ability to come to terms with what was going to happen to him was an important turning point in his life. Because I feel like now, moving forward into season two, which we know is happening because I think they've already finished shooting season two, he is now emotionally in a position where he can embrace who he is again. And I mean, Pike is already a badass captain.
Yes.
And I think that he has been restrained emotionally in season one because of the emotional turmoil. And in season two, he will be able to be even a bigger, braver, bolder than he was in season one.
Also, all of that true. All of that true. As you were talking, the thing, because, you know, I wasn't actually listening to what you were saying, right? As you were talking,
well, Ichabod agrees.
The thing that kept bouncing around in the back of my head, and I'm kidding about not listening, was that was I wish we had seen the Captain Pike 2.0 version of the incident on the planet. The incident that was the original foundation of the original series pilot.
So the menagerie.
Thank you. Yeah, I can't believe they didn't show that.
They don't need to. And the reason they don't need to is because we've already seen it. And
nothing would be different. That's true.
Nothing would be different. And they, oh my God, I loved in Discovery when that was part of the storyline. And they start with previously on Star Trek and they show fracking footage from Menagerie and it's Pike and Spock and Number One and just all of that. And it's the footage from the pilot, the original pilot.
Right.
So we already saw it. It just wasn't Anson Mount in those scenes.
That's fair. And I bet you we get more flashbacks / allusions to that either in season two or three. I mean, I think
that could happen.
I think that it needs because I'm assuming that the series is going to go through the events with Captain Kirk, which was actually that wasn't the Menagerie. What was that one called? That was called the Menagerie. What was the pilot called?
The pilot was crap.
I'm going to look at the cage. Right. Okay. So then it was footage from the cage that we saw in Discovery.
That's right, which was also used in the Menagerie,
right?
Which was the two-parter where Captain Kirk has to court-martial Mr. Spock.
Which was, I mean, it was the 60s. That was a brilliant use of that footage, which had already aired. Yeah.
No, it had never aired at that point.
Oh, I thought it did air and it didn't do well.
No, nope. It was screened by the studios.
That's right.
Or the executives. And they're like, nope,
Okay. And, yeah, I know, right? It was. I think the studio screened that and then made a decision without showing it to an audience.
Yeah, that's right, Brian. Thank you for bringing that up. I'm so glad that you remembered that and shared that with us.
Good, I'm good with the details sometimes, Jeff.
But you nail it.
I nailed it. I so nailed it. So I bet you that so I guess we could end up seeing the menagerie again.
Well, the menagerie. Okay, so
a new version of the menagerie, like the series.
If we see that, well, if that happens, that means that we hit a point where Pike is no longer commanding the Enterprise.
Oh yeah, fair point.
Because Kirk is now commanding the Enterprise.
That is fair. So I guess it needs to end with his accident.
Which would also happen with him not commanding the Enterprise, because when he gets injured in that accident, it is a few months before the cage happens chronologically.
No,
so that means that
the menagerie happens.
Excuse me, a few months before the menagerie happens. So that means that Kirk has been commanding the Enterprise for a year and a half, 2 years, something like that.
That's fair. Ooh, interesting. All right. I trust the showrunners and the producers so far. They've done a great job, so I look forward to say, hey, can we sort of tangentially thing direction off go?
No.
Okay.
Yes. I can't wait to hear what your tangent is.
I've been watching the Old Man. Have you seen The Old Man? It's on Hulu.
I have not, but it is on my list of things I need to watch. I've had several people tell me The Old Man is really good.
It's we're talking Jeff Bridges and what's his face? He's famous. I can't remember his name, though. Jeff Bridges, The Old Man.
Jeff Bridges and that one famous guy. Yes.
Yeah, the other famous guy. John Lithgow. Duh. how do I forget John Lithgow's existence? John Lithgow and Jeff Bridges, they're both amazing. The cast is amazing. I'm only 3 episodes into it. It is exciting. It is interesting. It is well shot. There's action, and Jeff Bridges is old, and they make it work. They really, really, really make it work. There's suspense. There's thriller aspects. There's mystery. There are things that we, are learning as we go, and mystery still to be solved. It is a good show, Jeff.
Well, it is on my list, and so I'm glad you brought it up so that I have another endorsement for it and can push it higher up on my list. I'm going to add one to your list.
Okay.
You need to start watching Sandman. Which is on Netflix.
I have. I think I've seen through episode 4.
Oh, great. Okay. Well, keep watching. I am just absolutely loving Sandman, and as a Neil Gaiman fan,
yeah,
and as he's a awesome comic book fan, getting to watch this show done where I feel like it's being done right. There are various liberties they have taken for the TV series. So they deviate in places from the comic book content.
Okay.
But it's done really well. As an example, and this is not a spoiler for anyone because you can see the trailers. So, Constantine, which, by the way, they're saying the name wrong on the show. They say Constantine on the show, but the character's name is Constantine. And It just really bothers someone like me, and I have to push my glasses up because they said his name.
Yes, yes.
But anyhow, Constantine, instead of being John Constantine, is Joanna Constantine. And so doing the gender change on that in relation to the character in the comic books, there's some people that were upset.
Because, yeah, well, I'm sure the incel community is all up in arms.
Yeah, and so whatever.
And it's the adorable
Jenna Coleman.
Yes, who is, it turns out, still adorable and a fantastic actress, and she does a great job. I don't have anything invested. You know, I get mad when they change things unless it makes the show better.
I had never picked up on that.
Yeah, right. It's a thing. Surprise. I don't know. I should finally reveal that.
It's like I learn something new about you every day.
Exactly. I feel like this particular change, in part because Jenna Coleman is such a fantastic actress, I know that the show is good with her. My feeling is that it probably makes the show better. And I don't think the Sandman is important enough not to change a blessed thing.
Yeah, and this stuff is being done with Neil Gaiman being involved, and
the original authors tend to be way less uptight about their own material than I am about their material.
Yeah, but it's so weird.
But he was thoroughly involved with this production.
Yeah, Sandman. It's beautiful to watch, and I think they did a great job with casting. And it's just compelling. Every episode, it is just like this little gem. And the episode 24/7, I don't know if you've seen that one yet.
I'm looking the show up right now. I don't know the names of the episodes.
24/7 is a masterpiece character study. I mean,
oh, there's 10 episodes too. There's only 8 in The Old Man, I might add.
Oh, well, then this is longer.
24/7 is episode 5. I have watched episode 5.
Okay.
And it was really good.
Yeah. I mean, that to me is like one of the best episodes in the show.
Other stars in the show include Patton Oswalt, who is just always great. And
yep, he plays Matthew,
which, you know, that didn't mean anything to me until I watched it. And then one of the actors from the Potter films, David Thewlis.
Yes,
he is terrific in The Sandman.
Yes, he is. Yep. I've just been so happy with how that show has been playing out. I think it's done so well.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it too. I thoroughly recommend that. I thoroughly recommend The Old Man. I thoroughly recommend. I'm only I think an episode and a half into The Flight Attendant from HBO, which is a Kelly Cuoco show.
Yes, I have not started watching that. It's on my list too. People say it's a wonderful series.
It is. So far, it's terrific. Maybe I'm 2.5 episodes in. And it's not new. I think like we're on season 2 or even 3. I'm very late to that show, but I am so thoroughly enjoying it. What does it about want? He wants dinner. Do you hear him? Yeah. You're upset off there on the side.
What I've been hearing from him is I'm liking the show. I'm liking the episode you're recording, but I need you to feed me. And he also said something about being disappointed with your depth of knowledge about TOS and Strange New Worlds.
And I consider myself a Trek wonk. Something doesn't add up. That's all I'm saying.
Well, you know, I'm not judging.
Yes, you are. You're totally judging. What are you talking? What do you mean you're not judging? You're totally judging me. You just judge me.
I am totally judging you.
Just judge me. And not only that, you know what? It's okay to judge me. First of all, I deserve it. But even if I didn't deserve it, judging is what we do as human beings. We judge each other. We judge actions. We judge the things we see. And this call for people not to judge usually means simply, I don't feel like I should be held accountable for my own actions. That's usually what people mean when they say, don't judge me.
Well, I feel like you should be held accountable for your lack of Trek knowledge.
I accept your judgment. Now, mind you, I just had a conversation with someone about the Lord of the Rings books.
Mm-hmm.
And I've read the series, I don't know, 20, 21 times. But it's been a good 20 or 30 years since I've done so.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And the things that I can pull out of nowhere for the Lord of the Rings and for the Game of Thrones too is, I think, rather impressive, but I accept your condemnation and your judgment for messing up Trek.
And I want to be clear. Yes, I am judging you, but I'm also doing it in hopefully a good natured way, because to me, it feels wrong to make someone feel bad about their level of knowledge about something that they enjoy. Mm. So if you don't know any trivia about Star Trek, but you just enjoy watching it, good on you.
Yeah.
And if you want to be super deep in all the details and have issues like I do, like, well, how are you supposed to read someone's rank from the new uniforms when it looks like everyone either has captain stripes or commander stripes, and what the hell? That's okay too.
But I was calling myself a Trek wonk, so you get to judge me for my mistakes.
All right, fair enough.
Was that Robert Pattinson? In Patterson? Pattinson? In The Sandman?
No, he was in Batman Year One.
Ah, he was. Fantastic movie. I thought he was fantastic in that. I'm joking about actually thinking it was him. It was Tom Sturridge, who I'm not familiar with. But when I was looking at the posters and not paint, like, you know, sort of seeing them without studying them, I was expecting Robert Pattinson to be in this film, in this series, when I started it. True story.
Oh, well, then you would have been surprised.
You can judge me for that, too.
I'm going to toss out a couple other actors from The Sandman that you just need to watch their performances. Gwendolyn Christie.
Fantastic. As
Lucifer.
Oh,
she's absolutely wonderful.
Absolutely amazing. Joelle Richardson as Ethel Cripps. She was... I found that performance to be very captivating, the older Ethel Cripps.
Yes. Kirby Howell Baptiste as Death. And I know there were some people that were really pissed off that she was cast as Death.
I don't think I've seen that. I haven't seen that in an episode yet.
I'm not going to.
Too late.
You haven't, because you're on episode 5. So I won't give you spoilers. What I will say.
Go ahead.
No, you said you're on episode 5. And you haven't seen Death yet. So anyhow, Kirby Hall Baptiste is absolutely excellent as Death.
All right. I look forward to seeing her. It's her. You're telling me. I don't know the actress.
That's okay. You will, after you've seen her, which makes excellent sense, because you will have seen her. But yeah.
Excellent.
She is great.
All right. Our recommendations and discussion for TV for now.
Yeah. And I want to point out that once again, you're concerned about whether or not we'd have content that would run long enough for the show.
Yeah. LOL.
But you know,
yes,
you care.
I do. I do care. That's this week's Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add a question, you can write us at contextmachine.io. You can write me on Twitter at GeekTales.
Oh, yeah, I'm on Twitter too. I'm Jay Gamet.
Oh, Jay Gamet. Interesting. I think people can find you everywhere.
as pretty Jake much.
Right. Which is pretty good on you. Our bandwidth is provided by CashFly. The bass was recorded by Boom just for us. And ZocDoc was our sponsor. What can people do again?
What they need to do is go to ZocDoc.com/ACM and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then they can start their search for top rated doctor today. And Brian, many are available within 24 hours.
Oh, that's good.
So since you have your pencil out, that's ZocDoc.com.
ZocDoc.com. Got it.
/ACM.
Got it.
ZocDoc.com/ACM.
That's good. All right. Well, we appreciate them sponsoring the show. Thanks very much for holding my feet to the fire, Jeff.
You know, someone has to keep you honest.
Truer words were ne'er spake. I think that's how that goes.